somebody in the room today have a need in their life. I would suspect that everybody in this church right now has a need for something in their life. If this church was filled up from back to front, top to bottom, everybody in this church would still have a need in their life. Amen? Some of our needs are a little different. My needs are different than yours, but God knows what we need. In the midst of your problems, when we all have problems and situations in our life, we always look for somebody to give us a hand, for somebody to help us. Amen? But I'm here to tell you today that you need God to work in your life. Now, you don't need him to lift every burden. You just need him to lift the heaviest burdens in your life. You don't need him to move every mountain, but you just need him to move the highest mountain in your life. You don't need God to give you the whole loaf, but you just need him to give you a crumb. Amen? And that's the situation we're going to look at today in this passage that I'm going to read. Jesus is approached by a mother who's in a desperate situation. She needs something in her life, and she comes to the Lord, and she does. And she's not asking for the whole loaf. She's just asking for a crumb. Amen? When we go to the Lord, do we ask for the whole loaf, or do we ask for the crumb? Amen? So I'm here this morning to tell you that a crumb from his hand is more than enough. Amen? Just a crumb is more than enough. See, this lady knows that having a crumb from Jesus is better than having nothing. So as I preach to you today, I want you to get something from it. Because a lot of times we're asking for the whole loaf, but all we really need is that crumb. No matter what you think you know that your need is today, remember that God holds the key. Amen? So let's examine this passage together and find the help that we need in our own lives this morning. Amen? So the scripture is coming from Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 21 to 28. And it reads like this. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman that came from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering miserably." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. The reason she came. The woman came to Jesus because she was concerned about her daughter. The child was demon-possessed and probably acting out in anger and violence. So this woman needed help in a very desperate way. The woman cried. When she cried, the scripture says, crying out, shouting after another. The woman was following Jesus and his disciple, shouting out to him for the help that she needed. So here you can imagine Jesus walking ahead and the disciples alongside and behind him. And she's behind him crying out. So there was a space between Jesus and this woman, divided by the disciples. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a crowd and you were following somebody and something was going on and they were trying to get to the person that was ahead of the crowd. There is a buffer there, and you got to get through that buffer in order to get to the person that you want to get to, that you want to speak to. So this woman had to get through the buffer in order to speak to Jesus. She couldn't get through the buffer, so she was crying out. Amen? Sometimes we can't get to the church. Sometimes we can't get to call on somebody that we're familiar with when we're crying out for help, because the enemy puts a buffer in between there. But we still must cry out for help. Don't let the buffer stop you from crying out. This woman did not let this buffer stop her from crying out. Her cry was frantic because she was heartbroken over the condition of her child. So she was heartbroken over the condition, but she was determined. Amen? Sometimes our hearts are broken, but we must be determined to reach and get the help that we need. Amen? Even if the help is not for us, but whoever it is that we love, whoever it is that we are petitioning for, we have to be determined to get the help that we need. The reason why she called Jesus, Mark 7 and 25 said, the woman had heard of him. Perhaps she heard how Jesus had healed all manner of sickness. Maybe she heard about how he opened the eyes of the blind. Maybe she heard about how he opened the deaf, the ears of the deaf, so that they could hear. Maybe she had heard that this man called Jesus had driven out demons from other people. But the scripture said she had heard of him. She had heard about Jesus, how he had gone over to the other side, to the country of Gadarenes, to deliver a man who was possessed from a legion, not just one, not just two, but a whole army, thousands of demons. She had heard of him. So her determination was great. So she knew who she was going for. Amen? She might have said, if he can deliver that man, he can surely deliver the demons from my daughter. You see, sometimes you got to look around and see what God has done for somebody else and say, surely, if he has done it for them, then he can do it for me. This woman came to Jesus because she had the faith and the hope had been sparked in her heart. Sometimes we get a little faint of heart. Sometimes we get a little discouraged. But this woman had faith and hope in her heart. You see, when you have something in your heart, it's different than having it in your head. We spoke about that last week, right? But she had the hope and the faith right here where it counts. She needed something that society was not able to provide for her. Amen? She was looking for something that a dead religion had been powerless to give her. She needed a solution that she was not able to get by her own self-efforts. You know, sometimes we need Jesus to step in there to do something for us, and we try everything that we can. And once we fail, we believe there's no hope. There's no hope in you, but there's always hope in Christ. So she was desperate enough, and she saw Jesus as her only hope. So I want to know, how many of us can identify with this woman this morning? That our only hope is in Jesus. That our only hope is in Christ. Maybe you're dealing with a situation this morning that is out of control. Maybe you're at what we call our wit's end, and you can't handle it no more, and you realize that you need help. Maybe you're so tired and exhausted from this situation that you don't know what to do. But I'm here this morning to tell you that help is at your disposal. Whatever you need in your life today, you should take a lesson from this woman. Amen? Because regardless of what you face, the answer will be found in him. Because that mountain, that big, tall mountain that's in front of you, he'll move it out the way. That gap, that river that you can't cross, he'll provide the boat for you to just sail across. That demon-possessed kid, he's able to remove the demon from that personality. But you have to get to him. You have to get to him. You're waiting for him to come, but you got to get to him. That lady couldn't get physically to him, but she got to him. That lady with an issue of blood, she struggled, but she was determined to get to him, and she got to him. She didn't get all the way in front of him, in front of his face, and tell him what he wanted, what she wanted, or what she needed, but she just touched the hem of his garment. Not only do you have to get to him, but he invites you to come. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus says that in Matthew, but if you go all the way back to the Old Testament in Isaiah, it says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you will have, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. So in the Old Testament, he's saying, come if you're thirsty. And we already know that Jesus is living water. We already know that he's alive. We already know that he's the bread of life. So Jesus is saying, you don't have to carry this burden alone. Have you ever seen somebody walking around with their head down? That's because they don't know anybody that they can talk to. They don't know where to turn to. So when you don't know where to turn or where to go, you just look down. But I tell you today, when you're looking down, you're looking at the enemy, because Jesus is up. He sits high and looks low. This woman's persistence. This woman came to Jesus for help. And just imagine what she does when she doesn't get a response. We are so used to getting a response that we receive. Amen? This woman was ready for a response from Jesus. She's desperate. She wants anything. So she comes to Jesus, and she stays until Jesus gives her what she wants. But Jesus doesn't give her a response. So her first reaction, I should say, is, what is wrong with this man? Don't he see that I'm crying out to him? I venture to say that we do the same thing. We cry out to the Lord, and then when he don't react to us, we say, well, what is wrong? How come God is not listening to me? How come Christ is not doing something about my situation? But when we look in the book, that's why we have to read the Bible. When we look in the book, the scripture says that when she cried out to him, he said nothing. Amen? Because there are obstacles when we are dealing in faith, and when we're dealing with Christ. The first obstacle, as I told you, was the disciples between the woman and Jesus. The second obstacle is that when she cried out, he said nothing. How many times when somebody says nothing, you give up? You can answer that for yourself. Just because somebody says nothing doesn't mean that that's the end. Amen? It seems that every time this woman turned around, she met resistance to her request at every turn. But she persisted until she reached her goal. Let's look at the obstacles she faced, and she overcame them by faith. You see, in verse 21, she had to overcome race. We have to overcome race. This woman had to overcome race, because the Bible says in verse 22 that she was a Canaanite. This tells us two things about this woman. That number one, that she was a descendant from a cursed people. When Joshua led the people of Israel into Canaan, they had been commanded to totally destroy the Canaanites. But she was a member of that doomed race. So she was a member of a cursed race. Second, she came from a religion known for vile religious practices. So right away, this woman had two strikes against her. Sometimes we have strikes against us, and we give up because they say, oh, they're not going to do this for us because I'm a Christian. Maybe they're not going to do something for us because I'm black. Maybe they're not going to do something for us because I come from another country. There are people who are going to hold those things against you. But you must have a determination because you are a child of Christ that no matter what it is that they try to hold against you, no matter what the obstacles might seem like, if God is for you, who can be against you? She had to overcome religion. I'm going to hit home now because she had to overcome religion. You know that we have to overcome religion? When we are a child of God, we have to overcome religion. Because some religions say you can't do this, but it's not biblically. Some religions said you can't do that, but it's not in the Bible. She had to overcome religion because the religion of the day said that she couldn't talk to Jesus. But here was a Gentile mother calling out to the Jewish Messiah, and she had no right to come to him. She had no right to come through the door of Judaism. She was a Gentile, and he gave her the response that she deserved because he answered not a word. So right away, this woman could have said, he didn't answer me because I'm a Gentile, and I'm not deserving of his grace and his mercy. Sometimes we put a death sentence on our own selves by thinking that we don't deserve what we do deserve. Because God will give us what it is that we deserve when we deserve it, and we're not the judge of what we deserve it when we deserve it. She had to overcome racism. When the disciples saw her and heard this Gentile calling out to the Messiah, their reaction was telling her to go away. Amen? They wanted nothing to do with her. She was not one of their people. In their eyes, she was different. And that was enough for them to justify to themselves that they don't have to care for her. How many times have we been different than the people that we needed help from? And they justify not giving us help because we're different. Differences come in all phases. Differences is not just color. They're not just culture. It's age. It's the music you listen to. It's the clothes you wear. It's how you get your hair cut. Those are differences. And we look and we see visually something or somebody, and right away, because they're different, they're not worthy of what it is that God has given us to do for them. This woman had to overcome rejection. You see, as Jesus begins to speak to this woman in verses 23 to 26, his words, now listen to me, his words appear to be harsh. His words appear to be harsh. And I've heard this story so many times, but I never really got into it like I had to get into it. So when I get into it and I tell you about it, I hope that you have a different opinion of what Jesus is really saying to her. I hope you have a different opinion of what he was really saying to her and what she was accepting. Amen? Because sometimes we use harsh words, or they appear to be harsh, but they're not harsh, they're the truth. They appear to be harsh, but they're the truth. But let me tell you, the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth is not easy. It don't just lay on you, it hits you. So listen to what Jesus says to this woman. And when he first said these words, it must have shaken her to her core. When he said these words, it probably broke her heart. Amen? First he ignores her. Then he turns an indifferent ear to her as she cries for help. Then he turns and tells her, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the Israelites. I came to save them. And you're not one of them. So he tells her his purpose. But look at the words he used. While she continues to persist, he says, I came to save the Israelites first. She had to overcome the reality of this situation. You see, the realities of situations in our lives are harsh. Her daughter was possessed by the devil. She was a member of a doomed race. These religious people who are all around Jesus, including Jesus, appeared to not even care at all. Now, some of us are looking at some barriers today, and you might not be really a lost person, but you need to know that you need Jesus. You know that we are all from a doomed race. We're from the human race. We're from a doomed race. We have discovered that the religion don't really work for us, amen? But Jesus Christ does work for us. You might have experienced rejection of everybody around you, all the religious people. Maybe this is not the first church that you came to, but maybe you went to another church, and when you walked in the door, everybody turned around and looked at you, and you walked out. Maybe somebody said something to you that you didn't like, and it appeared to be harsh, and you left and never came back. Maybe the preacher was preaching something, and you thought that he was talking to you only, and you never went back again. Amen? It appeared that this woman was in a hopeless situation. Sometimes it appears that we are in a hopeless situation. But let me encourage you today that God's silence is not an indication of his unwillingness to meet your need. God's silence has served to test our faith and remind us that he operates on another level than us. You ever take your kids somewhere and they're worried about getting some ice cream and you're saying, I got to go to the bank. They're only worried about the ice cream, but you don't have the money, so you got to go to the bank first. They're screaming and hollering about the ice cream, but you got to go to the bank to get some money in order for you to get the ice cream for the kid. We operate on that level. Same thing as us as children of Christ. We want what we want when we want it, but he's got something else in mind for us. He's got to do some other changes of where he wants to take us. We're going to get that ice cream, but there's something else that he has to do, because not only are we going to get ice cream, but we're going to get cake too. You see, as Jesus spoke to this woman, he never slammed the door of hope in her face. In Mark's account of this encounter, he records Jesus is saying, let the children first be filled. That word first was that word that broken mother needed to hear. Amen? Jesus didn't say, don't come here because I don't have what you're looking for. He said, let the children be first. He said, I have come to the children of Israel that they must be filled first. Now, if somebody says, I have to do this first, there's got to be something second. Amen? But that woman was smart, because when he said, I have to fill the children of Israel first, she realized there's a second. There's something else. This is not the end all. Jesus hasn't stopped working. Sometimes Jesus has to do something first, and he'll get to you in a second. She took that to mean that seconds were available. You see, these were obstacles that were thrown in this woman's face by Jesus, because he was testing her faith. There are obstacles in our lives, amen, that test our faith. You can't give up. You have to keep going. Jesus is testing your faith. You know, they say that scripture says if you can take care of a little bit, then he gives you a lot. You know, there's some things that take a lot of faith. And you want to be in that place that takes a lot of faith. But when he gives you something that takes just a little bit of faith and you can't handle it, why is he going to give you this thing that takes a whole lot of faith? Why? He's not going to do that. Jesus is testing this woman's faith. Amen? The obstacles were there to mature her in the faith. Now, I want you to watch this progression throughout the scripture. In verse 22, she calls on Jesus based on his role as the Jewish Messiah. And then she receives no help. She has no right to approach him. Amen? She has no right to walk up to him, to be around him, and she has no right as a Gentile to go to him as the Messiah and speak for and ask for help. Then in verses 24 to 25, she hears Jesus tell her that his mission on earth is for the nation of Israel and not for the Gentiles. She hears this, and then she says, okay, then I have to change the way that I look at him. In other words, I got to change the way that I come to him. Sometimes we got to change the way that we come to him. I'm going to tell you a little story. I know a person who had put me down as a reference for their vehicle. And I didn't know that the person had put me down as a reference for their vehicle. So when they stopped paying for the vehicle, they called me. And I'm saying, well, what did you call me for? Well, you were put down as a reference for this vehicle. Okay. I said, well, I don't know where the vehicle is, but let me ask you a question. I said, well, how long has it been since they paid the bill? He said, I can't answer that. I wanted to say, and I probably did say, well, what you call me for? And I don't think I said it that nicely. But anyway, I had to change my perspective the way I looked at it in order to get the answer that I really wanted. I said, well, then let me ask you another question. How long does it take, does a person have to be behind in order for you to be calling somebody? He said, well, nobody's never asked me that. He says, once a person is 6 months behind, we start calling the people. I got my answer, but I had to look at it another way. This woman had to look at it another way. She had to come a different way. Sometimes when we go to God, we come to Christ, and we ask him something, we don't get no answer. Look at it another way. Ask another way. Maybe what you want is not what you really need. But when she hears this, and she sees him as his as her only hope, she sees him being worthy of worship. So now she's not looking at him as the Messiah. God, you got to do this for me. She's going to worship him. There's another lesson right there. We come asking, we don't come worshiping. See, in verse 24, she bows down to him, humbles herself at his feet, and gives him the worship he deserves, and appeals to him for the help she needs. Now look at what happens in verses 26 to 27. Now she hears Jesus comparing her to a dog. Oh, I would have been so upset. I think a lot of people in here would have been upset. You done bow down to somebody, and he starts calling you a dog? I think a lot of us probably would have jumped up on our feet and got ready to start fighting or something else. Amen? But the Jews looked at non-Jewish people as dogs. So Jesus wasn't just calling her a dog. The Jews, his Jewish messiahship, they recognize everybody else that's not a Jew as a dog. They thought not. And the word that they use, that he used, didn't refer to a mangy dog. Have you ever seen a dog that's all sick and all beat up and needs washed, the hair needs to be cut, a mangy dog? Jesus was not calling her that kind of dog. But we read the scripture and we say, all right, he called her a dog. You know there's some dogs. Let me just finish here. The word that he used was meant to be like a little puppy. It was not the mangy, dirty dogs, but the type of dog that a person would have in their house as a pet. So, that's why they talk about the crumbs from the table. The mangy dog will not be in the house to get the crumbs from the table. But the little pet dog, the little cute dog, the little dog that everybody loves and sits it on their lap, they'll be under the table waiting for them crumbs to drop. So while it appears to be harsh when he calls her a dog, it was common language that they use to think that everybody else that's not a Jew was a dog. But when he says the crumbs at the table, it lets you know that not only was he not talking about her as a mangy dog, but he's talking about a little pet that is under the dinner table looking for the crumbs. Amen? But I can see Jesus being the person that he is. He's looking at us saying, you're a dog. And she didn't take that to heart because her heart was somewhere else. Because she wanted the help that she needed for her child. And I venture to say that even in those times, dogs, certain dogs were treated better than people. I don't know about you, but I know that people treat their dogs. They got little cemeteries for their dogs. Their dogs get haircuts and get done up and massages and everything. A woman, Leona Hemsley, she lives millions of dollars for her dog. $20 million, something like that. Listen, she could have called me a little dog. I would have took that $20 million. But she immediately catches the meaning of what he's saying. And she says this, yes, it isn't right to take food from the children of the table and give it to the dogs. But even the dogs are often treated to a morsel from the table. All I'm asking, you see, my daughter's, she's got this demonic disease going on here. I can't handle her anymore. She's sick beyond measure. I can't get anybody to help me. But if I get this crumb from you, all I'm asking for is a crumb. I don't need the whole loaf. I just need a crumb. Just give me a crumb. She wasn't even asking for the dog's portion. She didn't say, just put his plate down here and I'll finish it. She said, a crumb. She didn't even say, you give me a crumb, I'm gonna ask for more. Just give me that little, just. Sometimes we just need that crumb. But you know, we're taught to ask for the whole shebang. Lord, I want the house with the two cars, the jacuzzi. You don't even have a place to live. Your rent's overdue. And somebody's telling, oh, just tell them what you want. Need a crumb. I just need a place to live. I just need a roof over my head to keep me from the storm, to keep me from the shelter, to keep me in the shelter. I just need a crumb. She's saying, Lord, I just need a word from you. Sometimes we just need a word from the Lord. Nobody's got to get up there and preach a whole sermon. You just need a word from the Lord. The woman with the issue, she just needed a touch. A touch, a crumb. Hey, a prayer, a song. Oh, hallelujah. You know, through all of this, a lot of people would have given up. Jesus ignored her. The disciples played the race card, compared her to a dog, but she persisted. Most folks would have thrown their hands up in frustration and stormed off in anger. Sometimes that's what happened to us. Have you ever seen people, they're waiting for the Lord, they need a crumb, and they're asking for everything. They don't get what they want, and they leave frustrated, screaming, I don't need this. I ain't coming to church no more. I ain't worshiping. Where is this Jesus people you keep talking to me about? Where's all these miracles being performed? How come he's not taking care of me? What's wrong with me? I'm better than everybody else. How come he ain't blessing me? I don't want to do any. I don't want to have nothing to do with that church. I don't want to have nothing to do with religion. I don't want to have nothing to do with any of this no more. When you react that way, you're not going to get what you want. But this woman, she didn't act that way. She's persisted in spite of everything. Amen? She persisted in spite of all of these obstacles. She just kept going no matter what was thrown in her way. She knew what was at stake. Amen? When you know what is at stake, you cannot quit. You got to persist. When we pray, we must pray and 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 pray. Do you want it? You gotta pray and pray and pray and pray. You can't quit on God. You know that he's able. He's not quitting on you, but he has something for you to do. You must go through something in order to be worthy of what he has in store for you. He's not just going to give it to you. He's not just the God of all good, but he's the God of everything. He let Job go through all of that. Job didn't say anything. He said, though they slay me, yet I trust him. We got to go through things and say, though I go through this situation, yes, I trust them. When people are looking at you like a fool, yes, I trust them. I might not be looking good to you and you and you and you, but I still trust them. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asked it, receive it. And he that seek it, find it. And to him that knock it, it shall be open. Let me tell you, you go to the door and you do like that, nobody answers the door. But you knock and nobody answers, you keep knocking. That door is going to open. Somebody's going to say, what is it you want? What you looking for? Who are you? Oh, hallelujah. Woo! I heard Sister Thigpen say, God knows who should be here today. And if you're here today, this message is for you. If you're going through something today, just keep knocking at that door. Stop asking for everything. Just get that crumb. They say the race is not given to the swift. It's not given to the strong, but the one that endured to the end. This woman, she endured to the end. And let me tell you, as she endured, she got a prize. Jesus responded to her faith. He was amazed by the death that this woman would go through to get that, her daughter changed. Her faith had exceeded all of the obstacles that were placed in her way. Here was this Gentile dog that had had more faith than all the Jewish and religious people. Let me tell you, there's people out there right now that need something from the Lord, and they're going to come in here with all manner of diseases, all manner of sicknesses, and all manner of issues, and they're going to come in here, and they're going to have more faith than those people that come here every Sunday. This woman knew what she needed. She wasn't giving up. She was desperate. They tell me desperate times call for desperate measures. Oh, my God. You might be in a desperate time right now. It called for desperate measures. You better keep on knocking. You better keep on seeking. You better keep on praying. Oh, God, you know what I need. Can you just please relieve me of this right now? Oh, God. And you pray that same prayer. God ain't answering. You want to know something? You got to do it a different way. You got to turn another way. You got to stop asking him to relieve you of whatever you think you have and get to the root of the problem. Because maybe that's not the root of the problem. That's what you see. But God sees different. I know that many people have prayed and sought God about situations, and everything remained the same. But they're saying it's no use, but God doesn't care. Don't go away and don't bother him anymore. It's never going to change. But I want you to take heart today. There's hope. Today might be the day that the master, I said the master. I didn't say a servant. I said that the master. Don't you know that he's the master? Sometimes when things get done and there's something to be constructed, they need a master mechanic. They need a master carpenter. They need a master plumber. They said that God is the master. There's a chance today that the master can handle whatever opportunity or whatever situation you're going through right now. But you didn't call on the master. You were calling on somebody else. You didn't have the confidence in the master. You had the confidence in somebody else. You didn't trust in the master. You trusted in somebody else. You didn't believe in the master. You believed in somebody else. Whew. Let me tell you something. If Jesus has done it for so many people, he can do it for you. Here's Jairus, the officer. He's walking with his daughter. He's walking with Jesus, and Jesus is going to raise her from the dead. And everybody didn't believe that he was going to do it. The enemy put an obstacle in the way. The people start running to him before he even got to the house, saying, "She dead already." Jesus said, "Don't believe him. Don't listen to him. I'm telling you today, don't believe them. Don't trust in them. Trust in the Lord." Here's Lazarus laying there, dead and stinking. And here's his sister saying, "You should have been here before." But Jesus is saying, "I get here when I get here. When I get here, I'm going to be where I'm at." And when he got there, he was where he was at. He said, "Lazarus, rise." There's all of these people. He just got finished preaching to thousands, 5,000 men, 15,000 people, and they're hungry. And Jesus says, "Let's give them something to eat." One guy's got the bank account. He's saying, "We ain't got enough money to feed them." The other one is looking and saying, "Look at all of these people. I don't know how we're going to feed them." And the other one's saying, "Well, let me see if I can find my exit right now." The other one says, "Well, all we got is this now. What you going to do?" He says, "Give me them fish and them loaves. Give them to me. Watch me now." They left with the baskets were overflowing. Everybody went who were hungry, they went home happy. Look at the disciples. They're in the boat. They just seen all of this stuff happen that Jesus has done. They're in a boat. They're going to the other side. And all of a sudden, there's a little storm and there's a little wind and some rain. And they're saying, "Well, where is he now? Somebody said, oh, he's over there asleep. Can you believe it? Somebody said, wake him up. Wake him up. And he probably said, what is it? Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little. You just saw what I done. But oh, ye of little faith. Oh, hallelujah. We the same way. Jesus just take us out of one situation and we go to the next one. And we're saying, Jesus, how did you let this happen to me? How am I going to get out of this now? The same way you got out of the other one, you're going to get out of this one. Because they said if he did it before, he'll do it again. Woo. Just look at Jesus. He's hanging on the cross. The devil said, I got you now. Just like the enemy do to each and every one of us. We get in a situation, he say, I got you now. Jesus hung there, and he just laid on that cross. They didn't believe he was dead. They stuck spear in his side, and he was dead. Dead as a doornail. Oh, hallelujah. I said, dead as a doornail. They took a boulder, and they put it in front of that hole in that cave. Not one man, not two men, but I took a bunch of people to roll that stone over in front of that hole that was supposed to be his burial ground. They put soldiers in front of it. But on that third day, they turned and looked around. The stone was rolling away. The clothes were still there. And Jesus was nowhere to be found. If he did it before, he's going to do it again. Oh, hallelujah. There is Jesus. They think he's dead. They think he's in this grave. For 3 days, there's nothing. Do you know what the disciples must have been thinking? Do you know what everybody who gave their life to Christ must have been thinking? Where is he now? I can't believe I fell for that foolishness. I can't believe I left my wife and my kids and my children, and I followed this man around for 3 years. I'm not going to get that time back. Oh, my God, how could I do something like that? But then there he was again. And Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. And he said, Thomas, touch my hand. Do you see the hole? Can you see the hole? Does Jesus have to come to you and touch you and say, see the hole? See the hole? See the hole. See the hole. Does he have to come to you and do that? But the scripture tells me, he says, better is those who believe and have not saw. Right now we're in a situation that we haven't seen him, but we believe him. So you've got to believe that you're in a better situation than the 12. Than the 12. Than the ones who walked with him. Than the ones who saw him. I'm just here to tell you, if he can do those things, whatever your situation is, it's little. It's little. It's little. It ain't that big. He don't have to give you a whole lot. Stop asking for a whole lot. Just get that crumb. Because a crumb from him. Hallelujah. I said a crumb from Jesus. Just a crumb from him is greater than anything that man could ever give you. Oh, hallelujah. A crumb is all you need today. Let us stand. Whew. You need that mountain to be moved in your life today. He's ready to give that crumb. Do you need to be restored in your faith and your fellowship? Come get that crumb. Maybe you need to see God move into somebody else's life that you know. Hallelujah. He's saying, don't give up. Throwing a crumb. That crumb could be maybe they start listening to the gospel a little bit. Maybe they refer to a scripture. Maybe they ask you to pray for them. Don't you see the crumb that God has given us? Don't ignore